Hi, good morning, Morro Bay, and welcome to the first day of summer. Summer solstice was a fantastic sunrise this morning. I'd like to thank everybody in the audience for coming here today. And today we have a new board member joining us. First, I'd like to really thank Chris Kocheksa.
Kosteka
from the Estero Inn is joining our board, and fantastic, so welcome. Taylor Newton, I've got Sean Green, I've got Maggie Jern and Ken Clark, and we have a fun agenda today going over our marketing plan. So I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is 9:02, and are there any board member announcements? Seeing none, let's go to Jennifer. Good morning.
Good morning. I have no staff announcements at this time.
I'd like to open the floor to public comment.
Good morning. My name is Robert Davis. I'd like to welcome Mr. Kosteka to the board, and thank you for serving.
Okay, we're going to move to our consent agenda this morning. Hopefully everyone has had the opportunity to review and edit, if necessary, the meetings from our May 17th meeting. We have the tourism manager report on TOT, as well as our marketing update. And I'd like to entertain a motion to receive, unless we have any edits or corrections.
So
we have a second.
Second.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? We're moving on.
Okay. Good.
Abstain.
And on to B, business items. Presentation from Grant Awareness from the Morro Bay Car Show, Morro Bay High School Athletics, and the Morro Bay Kite Festival.
Good morning, board. Chris Parker from the Cruising Morro Bay Car Show. And I want to thank you guys for your involvement with the event grant funding program. This year, we just had the 22nd annual Cruising Morro Bay Car Show at the beginning of May. The car show was started 22 years ago with the intent to bring visitors into town on what then was a slow weekend prior to the start of summer. That first show, we had 130 entrants. This year, we had 542, which has been relatively on par for the past few years, right there in the middle of 500 and 600. From the records I was able to pull after the show, it looked like we had approximately 2,300 hotel room stays for that Thursday through Saturday night. And we had entrants that came, you know, locally from California, some entrants from Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, Washington, and even a couple from Canada. And thanks to your guys' grant this year of $4,500, we were able to leverage that money with our advertising vendors and get matching or greater in-kind donations. And we ended up turning that into approximately $16,000 worth of ad dollars. And also, in addition, we put up street banners downtown, I'm sure most of you have seen, and we put in posters inside storefronts around the county, and we also take them over to the valley as well and place them in locations. Also this year, we were able to overhaul our website, morrobaycarshow.org, bring it up to date, and also put a nice page on there that puts a lot of links to morrobay.org. The show itself is all volunteer ran, and the proceeds from the show, we return those back to the community through different organizations. Many of the organizations that helped to put on the show, like Rotary and the Police Explorers, Police Volunteers, Morro Bay High School Automotive Technology, Morro Bay High School Athletics. But also this past year, we were able to donate to Women Aid of San Luis Obispo, along with the Slow Nor Foundation, which helps with dental needs for people that aren't able to afford them. And we're looking forward to another show in 2019. The dates for that are May 2nd through 5th. and we appreciate all of your help and support that we've gained through TBID. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This is a great event. It's one of the biggest, best events that
thank
is
you.
In our city. So thank you for
thank
the
you
continuation
much.
Of this event.
So just a couple things on the car show. We're noticing, we've noticed the last couple years, that room bookings seem to be getting later and later. And Chris and I have talked about this a lot. One of the things that we talked about was the year before was, I don't know if you remember, we had really extensive wind. I mean, where people were taking stuff down, tents were flying down the street. It was really, really unfortunate. And we thought that possibly might be part of the problem with the late bookings this year. And one of the things that we've put into place is we call all the hotels pretty much every other day going into the first 2 weeks before the event, and we send out that list of available rooms to Chris and a few other people at the car show that they can help us fill those rooms as we get closer, and we just keep updating it until the day of the event, and it's really helped. I know that some of the hotel rooms that were still open, they were holding a pretty high rate, so compression, that's fine. That's the hotel's decision to do, but I did notice that with some of the final rooms that were still empty, there were like 400 a night. So one of the things that we just did, Shannon wrote a blog about the car show with Chris about, booking early and the benefit of booking early and getting a better room rate. And so we're going to push that out probably in August once all the hotels get their 2019 room rates up. So hopefully that'll help this next year fill a little earlier. We'll see how it does.
One thing that always works is that really nice advance deposit, 30-day advance deposit rate, something that really, draws them to make that reservation. So something like that would be beneficial for everybody, too.
I had a question. Does Chamber put together any, passport-type thing like we do to distribute to all the car show participants, either the participants or people just coming to town, just because I know that we only have access to people that get into a hotel room and we give them our passport accordingly.
At this point, I don't believe there is. We've had some different groups over the years help out with just enticing, and we've had something like, there was the passport I think you guys had done a few years back that I think we kind of helped push along at our show. For the most part, it's when the entrants show up, we have a table there that we let a lot of people bring and set stuff there. But as far as, I think, as this has grown, obviously the web presence and everything has additionally grown. And we do pre-register for the following year at our show. And right now we're showing we got about 115 pre-registered for next year. And so you probably will see those similar people tend to pre-register their hotel room before they leave as well. And like Jennifer mentioned, this, I think it was the rain, and we had rain on Sunday last year, and we had wind all day Saturday. So I think that tended to those people who were coming this year, they're like, well, let's wait until it gets closer to make sure we're going to have decent weather. Because we did see that with that rain, we had a small, very small show on that Sunday. About 45 cars came out in the rain, but the majority of them, we'll see, they'll stay for Sunday, but they'll stay in their hotel and check out and go do other stuff rather than park on the street if it's bad weather. Thank you.
I just bring it up. That's kind of goes back to the future agenda item where we can maybe it's an opportunity to get on one message with the chamber, with all city departments and everything. Thanks.
I'd be glad to reach out to Erica.
And we have another. Do we have more behind here? Thank you. Come on up.
Hello, I'm Kara Taylor, and I'm here as a board member for Morro Bay High School Athletics Department, Athletics Boosters. Public speaking is not my gift, that's why I have my husband. But last 2 years, I've applied for grants for the tourism grants. 2 years ago, there were two grants that were awarded, and then last year, three grants were awarded. And the first event was for volleyball and cross country, had invitationals that were coming to town in September. That event had approximately 1,500 attendees, probably 75% of those were coming from outside of the county. And a new one added in December was for a basketball tournament. And for that one, we had about 1,000 attendees. Again, about 60% of those came in from outside of the county. And both of those events, these spectators had to spend at least one night in town, more than likely two. And then the biggest event that happens at the high school is the wrestling tournament, and that happens in January. And that event draws 90 schools from across the whole state. And I believe last year we had one team come from outside of California. And the money for most of these events helps our teams, the individual teams. They're expected to do a lot of fundraising in order to enable their teams to pay for their own tournament events and also for their traveling. And so the money that you help, that you've given to the school, helps the athletics department tremendously, and we thank you for it. And I put some facts on paper because I know I didn't remember everything, so you guys can review these later. Thank you.
You did great. Thank you so much. We love the events that are done, these athletic events that bring in new people to our beautiful Morro Bay, but it also brings their folks, and it these are visitors that are going to come back again and again and again just because they came and played sports here and found our beautiful little city. Thank you. And how about the Kite Festival? Hi, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, I'm Terry Baez. I am the event coordinator for the Morro Bay Kite Festival this year. This is a poster that was made this year. We started with new graphics for the very first time. I want to start with thanking you for your support. Your guys' support helped take the event to a three-day event and make it bigger than it had ever been before. So we started on Friday, April 27th, and our fiscal partner was the Friends of Morro Bay Harbor Department, and they helped in every way possible, helped get the kites onto the field, helped with traffic control, helped do a lot of things. We had a booth there with the Friends of Morro Bay Harbor Department where we gave away raffles, where everybody had given us so kindly donations, and that really helped to serve as kind of a informational booth up in there and to also explain the message of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, what we were doing there, and to sell raffle tickets. So we estimated that 5,300 people attended the event, and we received $13,104.68 in in-kind donations. As always, the city of Morro Bay really pulled together to help this because it was basically a new to a three-day event. We didn't have much infrastructure to go with, so we had to rely on the kindness of the hotels and restaurants to give us things to give away and to house and to feed our kite flyers. So the very first day was the kite fighting, and then a sunset dinner at Tognazzini's, because it was an outdoor event and the winds were gusting at 50 miles an hour. The kite fighting couldn't happen or it would have chopped off somebody's head. They like to show me that, because what we were supposed to do, what kite fighting is they put glass on the strings and they try to cut each other out of the sky. It's a very, very popular event in Southeast Asia, and then in addition, they put a very long tail on a kite and the kids have to jump and run up and grab it. They did one show of that, and I said, no, I called it. But I didn't want to decapitate anybody. But KSBY showed up right as that. I had called it for wind. But we had some really nice kite flyers that came into town and did some kite flying. So we actually got the visual of two guys trying to cut each other out of the sky. And then we moved on to Tognazzini's for the meal. And Mark was kind enough to make us a cake. It was fabulous. And so it was outside on his patio, and people got to meet the kite flyers. They got to come say hello, and it was a very nice effort on everybody's part. We did have new sponsors. I got some new business sponsors at Go Westy, which is a business that takes Westfalas, they're based in Morro Bay and make some fancy hippie cabins. So they were a sponsor, as well as PG&E. We got PG&E involved because we focused on the wind as power aspect of it. So what I wanted to try to do was expand it to more than just kite flying. So we brought in other things that work in the wind. We brought in kite surfers. We had sand surfers. We had all sorts of other little tiny activities that helped people play in the wind. So both the sand surfers and the kite surfers had free trainer kites, and so it was all free to the public to go and try all of those things. Children's Museum gave us prizes for our PG&E, and everybody up there gave us either a room or something to auction off to help defer the costs. So we had the kite presentations, we had the large aquatic kite displays. It was a super windy weekend. When the large ones went up, they lasted about 20 minutes, and then they went down. So it was more, you know, in lesser windier times, we could have spent more time up there. But it was anybody who was out there for the day, at the end, you were nice and pelted with sand. We had more vendors than we'd ever had before, which was nice, lots of different diversity. We had the United States Air Force was there with, but they got pelted so bad, and their Easy Up flew away. The kite flighting. We did do kite flighting earlier in the morning on Saturdays and Sundays. One of the new things we did is the STEM wind competition. We did that. That was for Morro Bay. I mean, that was for PG&E and based at Morro Bay High School. I'll tell you more about that. And then we had the Flying High Fish Fry, which was Saturday night. Giovanni fed our flyers and then did a very special sunset special for everybody that came to the Kite Festival, had a special thing to go and eat there with everybody else. And then we also, on Saturday, we gave away 300 kites in 3 hours, or 500 kites in 3 hours. They went like that. They were really nice kite. I mean, they were just kind of smaller kites, but the kids, we had tables set up so the kids could decorate them first, then put them up in the air and watch them crumble from the wind. So those are a few minutes. We got the big ones up there. We had 28 professional kite flyers. They were managed by Sean Farmer, who ran this event for 10 years, and he still managed the kite flyers. He had a booth there selling kites and was very, very helpful in all, getting all of this organized. The American Kite Flyers Association gave us an MC, so there was somebody on the beach talking about what they were doing all the time. It says, I guess it needed explanation. We did have a lot of heavy social media. It was a very, very well-shared, very exciting event on air. We did 250 posters that were distributed all over San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria County, and we got coverage in every single local print and TV and radio station. So those were the meals that were hosted. That's the kite, or the cake that Mark had made for us, which was so cool. And then, like I said, Giovanni offered a special thing to everybody that went to the Kite Festival and fed our kites. Whoops. Those were the vendors that were there. The Aim High is the Air Force. We had face painting. We had a church. We had lots of food vendors and some bouncy house type of thing that was very, very well received. So this is a Wind is Power competition, and so the kids had to put something together that proved that they could make power with wind. So this one here is a, it's not Lego. It's, what's the one where you make it? Connects. Thank you. She has a kid. And so that the pinwheel on the end, he took his mom's hair dryer and would push on the hair dryer, and then it would counterbalance. And then the little one over there, this kid was only 5 years old. It was a Legos he put together, and it was kind of just acting as a balancing thing. So and PG&E came out, and they bring this very cool. Kind of a display. It was as long as that table there, and it looks like a little town, and it shows you, it has little people in there, and there's a guy with big gloves on and shows you how you can electrocute yourself, and then it does all these things explaining how power lines work and how electricity flows through people and they blow it up, and it was riveting. It was so awesome. So it was very nice. PG&E was very excited about the event and all the press they received. When I asked them if they wanted their banners back, they said no, they're definitely doing it again next year, and they're going to build some special kites. We had 1,350 tickets were sold for the Jump Corral. That was a series of, like, we were only, he had 20 he could have put up, but was only safe to put 5 up. So what he did was sell for one, you got a wristband and you could go on all of them all day long. And the kids were, we had several people come back the next day just because it was such a good price and the kids loved it so much. So we had 185 people try the sandboarding, 85 people tried the kite surfing, 500 free kites were given out in 3 hours, 2,374 people signed up on Eventbrite, the LA Times did a travel calendar story, and NBC Bay Area did a Worth the Trip article. Those are all the media mentions. We had a really cool thing with Dave Congleton where John Lindsay, who is the meteorologist for PG&E, got on every week and gave a wind report instead of just a weather report. So that was kind of nice. And John just really focused on every day going in and saying what the wind was going to be, which was, this is going to be a deadly weekend for flying kites. It's like, stop saying that. The website and the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department put up a landing page for us, and they were both very well received and had lots of mentions and likes. So, you know, again, the community really comes together for this thing. I did learn that people on that dirt lot there just will park anywhere. So next year I will go out and rope it all off, because by, was it 10 o'clock Saturday morning, you couldn't get in or out. I mean, it was, and the fire department was like, lesson learned. The Morro Bay Harbor Department did come down and help us rope everything off. So if any people that came after that, it was more organized. And I didn't know that they would just park anywhere. But yeah, it was just, again, a coming together of the community that was, you know, really, really wonderful and nice. And next year it's April 26th through the 28th. And that's all. Any questions?
I just want to thank you, because the events that you are assisting us with are getting bigger and better. Everything that you're touching is getting better.
Thank you. It was
such a fun event, too, really.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And to have it 3 days long and to have folks come back day after day, it's a story in itself.
Thank you. Love
the press and love the stories all over. So thank you again.
Thank you. And the plan was to have the bigger kites flying in Coleman Park and down on all parts of town to kind of bring people there, but it was just too windy. It just wasn't safe.
We'll pray for some nice strong wind, but not outrageous
just
winds.
Somewhere in between gale force, and it was a gale force day. They actually, Harbor Patrol couldn't go out. Nobody could go out. So we had some serious winds. I'm still picking sand out of my ears.
A couple things I was just going to mention on the Kite Festival. So this, like Terry mentioned, this was started by Mr. Sean Farmer from Farmer's Kite in Surrey, and he's done an amazing job. And Sean is at this point where he would like to now be the ambassador for the Kite Festival and come down and do like on-air interviews and be more of an ambassador role and not the daily management role, because he has a full-time business and he has a full-time job, and it's just too much for him. And so what we've been working on doing is moving that. It's not the ownership, it'd just be the management of the Kite Festival over to a 501c, which would be Friends of the Harbor Department. And then it clearly states in there that if for some reason Friends of the Harbor Department does not put on the Kite Festival, that it would transfer back to Sean, so he's covered and can get it back if that happens. But it takes him out of that daily management and lets him be more of an ambassador for us, which I think will be really nice on a go forward. Interestingly enough, so one of the things since we've become a city department is we've been trying to take these, there's been some grants that were given direct to businesses before, and so we're trying to clean that up and get them through a 501c or, you know, the correct way to manage it. And we've been having a really hard time getting 501c's that can do that for us, because according to their bylaws, for one reason or another, they can't do certain things. And Friends of the Harbor Department has stepped up. So they've done all of our crawls. They've done the Kite Festival. I mean, they're like, whatever you need, we'll do it. So
yeah,
thankfully, that's really great. And we've seen great benefits from them. They finished the dock from the money that they raised. They've put the binoculars out now at Hofbrauhaus. I don't know if you've seen those mounted out there. So they're doing really good things with the money that they're raising from these events as well. So it's a win-win right now.
And also another event that's happening with the Friends of the Harbor Department and the Youth Sailing Program and the Morro Bay Maritime Museum is a marine swap meet that's going to happen at the end of the month. It'll be an annual event, the last Saturday of June.
Sounds like a board announcement.
Yeah. Thank you again. Okay. Great stuff.
All right. Thank you.
And now, mental marketing.
So I've asked mental marketing to come today. We're on the cusp of starting our new contract in July with them. And what Marianne and I have been working through is how do we move our ROI and our KPIs to the next level in this next contract and get better reporting and better ability to track, which is a constant, you know, problem with anybody in hospitality. And so this meeting today is really an open meeting for all of us to just interact as she goes through things. This is not for you to listen to her whole presentation. This is an interactive presentation that we need to actively tell her what we like or don't like, or how does this work, and let's really work through these and see how we can make our KPIs better for next year. Okay, board?
Good morning. Hi, Marianne Stansfield with Mental Marketing. Thank you for having me. As Jen said, she invited me here today to kind of go into some detail about how we plan to take the ROI to the next level starting July 1 in this new fiscal year. And we're actually really excited about it. So I want to kind of talk about where we are with KPIs. So I know I've presented to this board several times about our key performance indicators, which in tourism-specific indicators are measured by TOT, occupancy, average daily rate, and revenue per available room. So those numbers, of course, calculated by the city. And we kind of, and this is industry standard, mind you, that DMOs like Morro Bay kind of, you know, say, okay, we were successful this month based on those numbers. So then on the marketing side, the KPIs that we track are, for example, when we buy digital ads, we track the impressions that we purchase with the marketing dollars from Morro Bay Tourism. Excuse me. How many clicks we get from those ads, how many conversions we get from those ads. And so what that is so someone sees an ad, maybe they don't click on it that day, but within the next 30 days they end up on our website, we can track that through the analytics, okay, and through our media partners. We track the impressions that we generate through public relations and how many times they're shared on social media. We track impressions on social media and so forth and clicks there as well. So the missing link, and this is, again, industry standard, not only tourism, but across the board, the missing link often in marketing is, okay, how do we track all of these impressions and all of the marketing KPIs to all the tourism results, okay? There's been this missing link, and that is what we're going to talk about today. We have a product from one of our tourism partners tourism media partners that is that kind of missing link. So why don't I just jump in here and talk about what we're going to implement this year. So Adara Travel data ecosystem. So Adara is a tourism-focused media partner. They offer an advertising program. We do buy ads through them and have for the past couple years. This is a different product. This is called Adara Impact, what I'm going to talk about today. But how they're able to produce these kind the tracking that I'm going to share with you is because they have this, what they call their data ecosystem. So they partner with tourism companies, huge ones, international ones. So American Airlines, United, all the big brand hotels, Marriott, you know, Best Western, and so forth. And you can see the plethora of partners that they have. And they establish contracts with these media partners, and they say, okay, well, you'll share with us your proprietary information, and then we can share that with our data partners. So it kind of goes, you know, that whole privacy sharing Facebook thing that's going on. You know, it kind of goes along those lines where they get all the data from these partners, but they don't share the personal information, right? They don't share names. They don't share emails. They don't share all of that. But these are solid partners. This is proprietary information, and it's accurate information, okay? So that's how Adara gets their data. So how does that work? So Adara has a global footprint. They track over 950 million air bookings, airline bookings, and hotel bookings every year. As you can see, they're an international network and heavily they track over 750 million monthly active travelers. So what really is outstanding about this partnership that we're developing is that they also track search data, booking data, and profile data. So while they don't share, so profile data meaning they don't share the names and email addresses, but they'll share, you know, we find out what their the ages of the person booking, or where they live, or if they didn't book here, where they did book, that kind of thing. So as you can see here, we can find out deep visitor insights and behavior data. So where they're coming from, where they're going, other destinations that they search aside from Morro Bay, when and where they book, are they business or leisure, did they see our ads and visit our website, their age and income, as I mentioned, the hotel rate, and the number of nights that they stay, which is huge. So how do we do that? So basically, we track all of our digital ads that we do, not only with Adara, but with other media partners like TripAdvisor, like when we run ads on social media, when we run ads through Google AdWords, when we send out e-blasts that Liz and Jen send out every month to that database of 20,000 people. What Adara has set up for us is, and all of their clients, is a way for us to create our own pixels. If you guys are familiar with pixels, I know I'm kind of getting a little micro, but it's basically a digital tracking source where we can create it through their dashboard. I can create a specific pixel, and Liz can attach it to the e-blast that she sends out, and it will track everybody that responds to that email. We don't have that right now. We can track her email back to who goes to the website, who actually books, who books a flight, and then it gives us their profile information. That's pretty amazing. So that's what this is about. So this is what we measure with all of that. Like I said, the hotel bookings, we measure website visits, and so on and so forth.
Just to update you guys, this is actually a paid feature that we're putting into, it's already budgeted into for next year, but it is a paid, it's not just something they're doing for free for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, no, we have to pay for the data. And to that point, Jen, is so even if we were to, let's say, hire a research firm to go and research and spend, you know, X amount of dollars annually to to have them figure out this data or do focus groups or what have you, we still couldn't get this type of detailed data if we paid a focus group to, or a search agency to do it. So this is a pretty unique product. So how do we know how to move the needle? Basically, we're going to find out from our media partners which ones are driving the most bookings. So we have a campaign, we run ads on TripAdvisor, we run ads on Adara, we do social media campaigns and so on and so forth, e-blast through LA Magazine, LA Times. We can track every single piece of media out there through this program, and we can find out who's producing the most bookings. We can find out which creative executions and what campaigns are driving the most bookings. The revenue per impression, how much are you spending before you get that booking? The length of stay, which is so difficult to track. So we're super excited about this feature because it is one of our objectives and has been one of our objectives is to really extend that length of average length of stay. And then origin markets. So what markets are staying longer and which ones are spending more?
Marianne, real quick, just a quick question back to the RevPAR impression. How much are you spending before you get that? Are you measuring that in advertising dollars or how is that?
Right.
When you're saying how much you're spending.
Exactly. So we can track what ads are converting booking to bookings. And then so then the revenue per impression. So then we just do a calculation to figure out how many impressions are we spending or buying before we get that booking and what is the tracking system of for that? You know, how did we get there? You're welcome. Please feel free to ask questions as we go.
Yeah, I might as well do it now while, sure. While they come up. Are we able to add such a pixel to really any paid advertising then?
Yes.
Not
digital.
Digital paid advertising. Can we pay to have that pixel added to organic?
So either
they're journalistic pieces or other types of impressions that aren't necessarily us paying on AdWords or TripAdvisor?
So that's a good question, and I want to make sure I'm understanding what your question is. So I'm going to give an answer, and you tell me if it's answering your question.
I guess what I'm saying is that this is an amazing thing, but yeah. But at this point, I'm not sure that we have all the mechanisms that are ready for that pixel. And so we have this email blast. We have a website that is going to get revamped. What are the other ways that we can, like whether it's through any kind of traditional media that we can pixelate that or maybe get our hoteliers on board with pixelating their booking page or something like that?
Well, I mean, I think that, I'm happy to talk to our media partner about co-op opportunities, and actually I have mentioned it to them. They are looking into how they could potentially do that. That I think they might even be in a beta stage trying to figure that out. But it would be a co-op where the hotels, well, I don't know if maybe the bid would pay for the co-op for the hotels, if that's even an option. But right now, basically, the client is the City of Morro Bay, so it's the assets that the City of Morro Bay owns that we can track, right? So it's all social media, it's Google AdWords, it's all of the media, all of the money that's being spent on media. Digital media will be trackable. So organic stuff, what we can track organically is whoever basically ends up on our website will be able to get their profiles. So that's something new as far as owned media that you guys have that will kind of take it up to that next level. Am I answering your question?
I'm just brainstorming other opportunities
to
use this feature that seems like it's above and beyond our we need to meet them halfway, so I'm trying to figure out what other ways we can contribute to maximize the
Absolutely.
Opportunity.
I totally agree. And I had a meeting recently with them about and talking about that as well. And
so, Sean, I think it's a really good point, and that might be a year two process because we need to show that it's a lot of money. So we need to show that this is working, that we're seeing benefit from it. And then maybe year two, we look at, do we want to pay for hotels to,
right.
because right, like right now we
right.
pay Jackrabbit every month for the hotels.
I'm actually saying the opposite, that we might not be ready to pay that amount if we don't have the right things to track. So it's more of a chicken and the egg.
I think it's all about tracking our paid media right now. Because right now, our big thing is if we place an ad, which is like almost $300,000 of our budget a year is placed media, mm-hmm. we don't have the ability to say, okay, we did an ad for 4th of July, and here's how many people booked for 4th of July.
Right.
We don't have that direct tracking, and that's really the big missing link, that if we can get that resolved this year, I'll be thrilled. That's
right.
It's a really big deal. But I like your idea for maybe year two.
Totally. In any way that we can leverage this, we will definitely stay on top of that and research that, to your point. Absolutely. And so going on to our next slide here. So I just want to show you some of the dashboard information. I know it's hard to read. I apologize about that. I tried to make it as big as possible. But basically, this is what it looks like. You know, when we go into the dashboard, this is some of the insights that it's giving us. So it's showing that revenue number there, $2 million. This is one of their big clients' case studies. But it shows revenue. It shows next to that, actually, let's see if I can. Right here, it shows how many rooms were booked. Right here. I don't know what happened. I'm sure he'll come out and help. Thanks, Jen. But right next to that, it showed the flights booked. So, for example, Adara, two of their partners are United Airlines and American Airlines. That represents 97% of the seats that fly in and out of SBP, San Luis Obispo Regional Airport. So we can track how many people book a flight out of SBP who have seen our advertising. We don't know necessarily if they end up booking in Morro Bay, and we can only track the bookings through the flags, so through like Best Westerns and the branded rooms, which represent about 20% of the rooms in Morro Bay. So, so from that, we can kind of extrapolate. So, for example, let's go back one, I think, here. So, actually, I have some data. This is what this is here. So, currently, like I mentioned, we buy advertising through Adara Marketing. This is a different product. This is Adara Impact. And this might get a little confusing. I apologize. But so, for this last year, this last fiscal year, through May, we have had 370 people book through Adara that we have tracked back to our ads. And as a result of that, we've generated $25,000 in revenue that we can track. Okay? So we already have some proven results from Adara. And so that's why we feel confident in this product. But to give you an example, so if we're showing $25,000 in generated revenue, and that's just from one media partner, right? That's just Adara. So that doesn't include TripAdvisor at this point in time. It doesn't include any of our emails. It doesn't include any of our social media, right? Because that currently is not tracking bookings, okay? So just from Adara paid media, we can track $25,000 in revenue. Well, that's only 20%, right? So you multiply that times five, right? And then that is the projected revenue that we've generated through that media buy. Does that make sense, everybody?
What was the money spent on those ads?
Right. So the money is spent on advertising. So it's spent on digital ads that we run. It's a really good question, actually. So we buy advertising with Adara right now. So when they run the ads, they run on all of their partner sites, on tourism-specific sites, on United Airlines, on, you know, American Airlines, on sites where people are already searching to travel, right? And so then once somebody sees our ad and then they go back to our website or they book something, Adara has that data because they have that proprietary relationship with all of their data partners, right? So that data, they get, that's how they get that data. And again, I'm going super micro, so I apologize ahead of time, but if you have questions, just ask me. So year to date through May, we know for a fact that people who have seen our ads through all of the Adara partners have booked hotel rooms at, that amount to revenue of $25,000. So we multiply that times five, and that's $125,000 that we can show as a result of spending $45,000 for the year with Adara. Everybody with me? Okay.
Okay, and where does the five multiplier come from? That's
the five multiplier is because the Adara can track 20% of our hotel bookings.
Okay. Okay.
Chris, just to bring you up to date, Adara is specifically a hospitality network. That's all they, that's their field that they manage and is hospitality related sites, period.
Right. From that first page I showed you guys, those are all their media partners. Yeah, all their hospitality partners. So, questions?
That calculation isn't saying they're generating us any revenue. They're just saying that we were able to successfully track 20%, and those were the dollar amounts.
Right. So of the 20% that they tracked was $25,000 exactly. So if we were to extrapolate from that and project out that the potential of it, that's how you would do it.
And thus, that would be 125 out of this gross, not e revenue.
It's just revenue, yeah.
So in that sense, then projecting that out, that would only be able to track roughly 12%, 14% of our total revenue.
Well, right.
Best case.
Right. So okay. But what we're talking about is connecting what we're specifically doing with our advertising back to how it's generating revenue. Yeah, and contributing to those total numbers. Yes. And mind you, I'm sorry, one more thing I want to add because that was a good point. So mind you, that number is only what we're spending with Adara right now. So with this new product that Jen and we're presenting today, we're going to now be able to track not only the Adara digital ads, but also TripAdvisor and also all of our social media and our Google AdWords, and et cetera. So that number is going to grow.
What I was going to comment on is the hardest part for you guys and for any marketing firm is to figure out your return on your investment.
Right.
To, you know, to get the data that we need to prove that what you're doing and what we're asking you to do is actually working.
Correct.
This is going to give us some incredible, you know, demographic and psychographic information of who's booking, how they're booking, where they're booking. To Sean's point, it would be really nice if we could get 100% of every hotelier in town to be able to have that pixel on there so we could see really a real picture. So in the future, I think that is something that we should look at, you know, year two. Mm-hmm. And even as we move forward, I think we should be asking those questions. How does that work? But the information, you know, and for me, it's so much about conversion, you know. It's are they looking or are they booking? You know, and that information for me is critical as well. But everything I've read about what we're getting into, this is state of the art, and huge DMOs across the nation are using them across the world. And so to get us into that, you know, to get us to that level is just great. And so thank you for bringing this up. It's really great stuff.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We work with a lot of other tourism accounts and have other, you know, marketing, you know, industries that we work with. And that is probably the biggest source of frustration, you know, especially when we're working with a board and then city council, and it's like, okay, how do these numbers jive? How are we showing that this is actual return on investment? It's just, there's no there a lot of times. And people aren't inside the box of marketing like I am and like Jen is. It can be really difficult to kind of get it. And so this is one of that missing link piece that can connect it and hopefully help, you know, when we're just giving the numbers on stuff, people are like, okay, I get it now. And that's what we're trying to help with. So it's a start.
If I could ask one more question on that.
Sure.
Example, 4th of July weekend. So we put out some ads on 4th of July weekend. I think it'd be safe to say we all believe we're going to sell out our properties 4th of July weekend, whether you put the ads out or not. But what those ads are going to do is help create the image, right? Get people here. They may not come 4th of July, but they may not come until next September, next October. We're probably not really able to track that distinctive, I would assume, to know that this person who shows up in November first found out about us through a 4th of July ad. That those are just...
Right. Well, we have a 90-day window. So if somebody sees an ad, you know, and then within that next 90 days, they go and they book or they do something, we will be able to track that. The long term is probably way, way more expensive than we can afford. If they even do that, I didn't ask. But, excuse me, you know, just so that you guys know, we do a lot of the event advertising through social media, through e-blasts and stuff like that. So we'll be able to, we don't spend a lot of high dollars on specific events. Some, and to your point, especially the ones that tend to book out, you know, we try to spend more of our money on the ones that need help and on pushing midweek business. But so the campaigns that we do where we spend higher dollars are going to show more return, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I think there's also an opportunity if we have this data to from a marketing standpoint, we can look at lagging indicators in some shape or form and see, like, look, if our activity in July 2018 is skyrocketing and suddenly, you know, November bookings are going up, or even July of next year. And I mean, it takes a lot of analysis to kind of find how that long-term play is panning out. But if we have more of that hard data, it's possible at least, or to make an attempt at it, which I know when I look at numbers, if someone has attempted to analyze them in a way that seems somewhat reasonable, even if that's totally faulty, I appreciate that more than kind of qualitative, subjective, vague buzzwords.
Right. You know, and I love data too, and I love analyzing data, kind of geeky like that. But so I'm looking forward to be able to say, to analyze the data and say, okay, this is where we're getting the bookings from. This is where we're getting the higher dollar bookings, you know, where they're spending more. And then we can fine-tune our marketing approach. Jen and I can, you know, and the team can put our heads together and say, okay, this is where the dollars are. That's where the marketing is going to go, you know. And so, and these are the campaigns that are working. Let's fine-tune them. And you know, these are the messages that they're responding to. We will be able to track, you know, what data on the website is actually leading to conversions.
So, Marianne, to go into what Sean and Chris were both asking a little more, can we see that they looked, and then they finally booked on a specific timing? Mm-hmm. Can it go back and show that, you know, they looked at July and then they looked at something in August? But, I mean, part of that is, did it, you know, they might have a really fond interest in Morro Bay, but it doesn't fit into their
timeline. Yeah.
So it'd be really nice to know if they looked at our stuff five times and then finally booked something specific. Is it that detailed that it would break it down?
Well, so to the 90-day, in that 90-day window. So actually right here, I know, again, you can't see it, but right here, these these bars, that is the look-to-book ratio that we're going to be able to get. And it's generally right now, well, this isn't our data, but I think it's around 36 days right now from look-to-book. So that kind of data we'll be able to get as well. And so it's within that 90-day window, which is nice. And I think that's generally the case. But I think, you know, if it's a year out, if somebody's just kind of searching and just kind of browsing, and then they don't book to the next year, we can't track that they browsed a year ago, but we can certainly track, you know, when they go back to our site and then they actually book, right? When they come back around. If it's within a 90-day thing, we can track that. But So just a couple more kind of dashboard pages that that are really exciting to me. I don't know if they're going to be exciting to you, but so media impact. So again, this is showing the number of travelers, the length of stay, the average daily rate that we're getting from these travelers. Oh, I think we lost it. At any rate, the rest are, well, I do need to have it come up again, so we'll fix that in a second. But activity by campaign. So we can see, it'll give us a list of like, okay, here's their emails that went out. Here's the, so let me back up. So for right now, we're running a midweek campaign. So when we create the pixels to track all the data, we title it midweek campaign. So we can then track just the midweek campaign. We can track it by the emails that pushed out that message. We can track it by the social media. We can track it by it. So it lists it down, and we can break out how many clicks from each media source, how many conversions from each media source, how many bookings from each media source. And that's, again, going back to how we can then fine-tune our marketing and how we're spending the dollar. I mean, this is such valuable information.
Is there a finite list of tags that we can assign to those type of things, or can we come up with 50 of those type of tags, and then if we have a midweek campaign, we can say midweek off-season January, midweek, you know?
Yes, okay. We can. And so They recommend to keep it more kind of just like, so if we have a midweek campaign for 2 months, we just call it midweek campaign, and then we can break it out by calendar, right? We can just pull the data by the month, okay? But there's all kinds of ways, to your point, yes. If we want to go deep, 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 we can totally do that. Absolutely. So, like, for example, if we are running this midweek campaign, or let's say in the shoulder season campaign that we run, if we want to run a couple different sets of ads to see what message really, we can do that. So then we can call it, you know, shoulder season campaign, you know, adventure message, shoulder campaign, you know, food message, or whatever. Yeah.
That seems like the kind of thing to have the 10 or 12 tags that we standardize on the upfront, so that in a year or 2 years or 10 years, no matter who the marketing firm is, who whatever that data is,
oh, it'll still be there.
Remain the same.
Oh, they will.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just depends if the campaign changes, like if, you know, the show.
Well, if it's a one-off one, yeah, it's like a,
right.
But yeah, but that would be.
If it's the same thing year after year, absolutely. We can track that data annually.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is really an asset, not just a service.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. This is long-term. Yeah.
So Marianne, and I may be a little dense about this, so I'm trying to understand. You stated earlier that right now we can track 20% of the bookings into hotels.
Correct.
Right? And you're saying with, and that's with the current product we're using with Adara. And with this, when you're saying we can track, you know, from the media to the booking, is that, again, only if they're booking through some of the major sites like TripAdvisor, Expedia, or whatever?
Right.
And I assume we would how do you tie in the morrobay.org, and how, you know, what if people, you know, see that ad campaign and then they go, oh, yeah, that's cool, I want to go to that, and then they just go Google hotel rooms in Morro Bay and see, oh, look, there's the Estero Inn. That looks cool. I want to book there. And I'm going to give that, you know, that business to Chris. would a transaction like that be tracked?
Right. So the data that we'll get is only data from their partners. So if they go outside of the partner network, then you're right. That isn't trackable.
Until we maybe move to phase two, where we try to get some coordination.
Right. Okay. And so what they're doing is, because I asked them about, okay, how do you know, is there a possibility you'll ever be able to track non-flag? And that is actually what they're working on, that's in beta right now. So that... They're trying to figure out ways to track the non-brands.
Okay, good.
So,
thank you for that.
Is there any large booking service that's not under their purview that we're missing? Is there anybody significant that we're going to miss?
Right. Not to my knowledge,
like,
but I'm happy to ask.
Somebody that big.
Right.
Okay.
I'm happy to ask. I think... I think they're really well covered, but there might be some out there that they're just... not interested in, you know, playing.
Plus, it's not somebody that's, you know, one of the major bookers.
Yeah.
I guess is my concern.
Yeah.
It might also be really interesting to know if they'd have Airbnb and VRBO as their clients, because that information would be super valuable to everyone.
I think that's a great question. Yeah, I will find out for sure. Boy, I'm just dropping stuff. My fingers are freezing. That's why. Thank you so much. My fingertips, I can't even feel them. Let me just make a note here real quick on that. Okay, so I really appreciate all your questions today, you guys. This is really great. I know Jen and I are super excited about it, and so sharing this with you is really cool.
Marianne, real quick, are you able to, can we get
this PowerPoint sent to us so we can really look at the
sort
of the data pages? I know that they're not ours, but at least it'll give us, give the board an indication of really being able to see what we're going to be, what you're going to be looking at, what we're going to be getting from you.
Yeah, it's going to be part of the minutes.
Great.
Beautiful. Yeah. And just keep in mind, our numbers are completely different than these numbers. So I think I just went over this page. Let's see how we do here. Thank you. Thank you. So, okay. So let's see. I think I might have already gone over this one. This is origin breakdown. So yeah, so the origin breakdown is just, you know, where people are booking from, where they're coming from, and how many clicks they are. Again, going back to what is, you know, where is our target audience coming from and who is spending the dollars, you know, trying to get that ADR up. Go ahead to the next one here. Traveler profile, we talked about this. So this is age and household income, that kind of stuff. 2 years ago, Jen and I spent probably, you know, well, I guess not too much, like a couple $100, maybe $1,000 on getting reverse profiles from the 20,000 people they have in their database currently. And so that was really great information to help us kind of fine-tune the marketing that we did. But getting that kind of data in real time like this is just is incredible. Yeah. So let's see if I can. I'll go ahead to the next one. Yeah. Markets. So, yeah. So this one on booking origins. And then we also can find out. So let's say somebody sees our ad and then we don't track them to booking here, but they book somewhere else. Let's say they book Santa Barbara or they book Monterey or Pismo. We can track that data. So we'll be able to say, okay, they're not booking here. They're booking here and here. So, you know, how can we compete better and so on and so forth. Which I think is super cool. And then, go ahead. Thank you. And then this is the website. This is the dashboard of our website number. So this would be like looking at morobay.org and looking at how many site visits, how many searches, how many bookings that have come through our website. So it's like getting data in real time. It's just going to be, we're just, you know, I don't want to oversell it, but I know that we've had good results already. I feel confident in this product, so that's why we're pretty jazzed.
Is one of the features something that allows us to dump JackRabbit immediately?
No. Well, we're going to keep JackRabbit.
Yeah, well, we'll be able to track JackRabbit still through JackRabbit. That's not a media partner with Adara. That's separate. But I will ask our rep about if there's any, you know, big, you know, partners that aren't showing, like you said, and if they track Airbnb and that kind of stuff. So
JackRabbit's pretty minimal. It's $1,200 a month.
Marianne, I'm confused. A while ago, I understood the numbers we were looking at or could look at were illustrative.
Yes.
But this slide is real numbers?
There still is illustrated.
So everything's illustrated. Okay.
Right. Thank but you. This would be basically they actually – so once we get it all plugged in as of July 1, we can look at a dashboard like this and it'll be showing our actual, instead of like Google Analytics, we can get tourism related analytics, tourism specific analytics versus Google. Google gives great analytics, but it's, you know what I mean? It's more generic. This would be kind of the same thing, Google Analytics, but it's showing us the bookings related to the people that have seen our advertising, the searches, the number of flights that were booked. Another thing, and I need to talk to Jen about this, but what's really cool is that we can track how many flights were booked to SBP, San Luis Obispo Regional Airport, by people who have seen our advertising. And that number is pretty – so, again, let me go back to the numbers I have. So through May, we've had – that we can track 984 nights, flights booked to SBP. They've stayed for 984 nights after they've seen our advertising. But ironically, we can only show like 200 rooms booked. So we don't know exactly if they stayed Morro Bay, but there's a good chance they booked a room that they don't track. Does that make sense? Yeah. So but we can track how many people are flying into the airport, how many flights we're generating from our advertising, which is huge. And if we want to, we can even include people flying into Los Angeles and San Francisco if we want to broaden that out. And that's something you and I will have to talk about if we want to do. So it would basically be somebody saw our ad, and then they booked a flight to LAX. You know what I mean? That we're not tracking right now. But if we do that and we go bigger, we won't. It doesn't break it all out, so we won't. You know,
so on that, can we? Let's say they look at our ad. What about? Did they also look at an ad for Paso or a SoCal ad? Is there a way to see that? Because they might look at our ad, but they might be looking at our competitive set to come into the county, and then where are they actually stay? Might not be Morro Bay.
No, we don't know where they stay. You're right. We don't know.
You can't track all those.
We can't. We would have to have pixels on their ads.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's just pixels on our ads. You know, I think it'd be rare to see our ad by Paso's ad, by Pismo ad, on any site. They could maybe see it on at different times, you know. I don't know. That's interesting. I'll kind of delve deeper into that.
I do think it would be worth, I'll talk with SoCal and see if when they're going to do social posts on, and they only do them on very specific things like avocado margarita or something big, if they're going to push our event, I would love to see if they'll put pixels in it for us.
That and also, or if they would share, well, I guess, yeah, okay, yeah, let's talk about that, because I can create pixels for them.
If they'll do it, yeah.
If great. They'll do it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In the same vein as the airport tracking, I think there might be an opportunity. I'm not sure how much, if any, we're spending on mobile-specific ads, especially to drive markets that are within a day that would basically end up in a one-night booking for Morro Bay, but that might be another opportunity to track like a four-hour-away mobile ad for same-day booking.
For sure. Yeah, we definitely, so when the digital ad buys that we do, it includes mobile-ready sites that we're on. So I'll make a note of that. And then we can track, of course, the origin so we know how far out they are. Okay. So, is this exciting?
I've got a thought. It's really exciting. I've got a thought. I know that Adara is really huge. They're big.
Yeah.
Now, can we possibly pressure some of our partners like Jackrabbit to join them? Can we ask Adara to try to add them as a partner? I'm just thinking, if they're our biggest booking thing through our site,
right,
there's a lot of data we're just not seeing, and if they would become a partner with, you know, just a thought. You know,
you
how
know
do
what?
We get more data
right
into the money we're spending with
okay,
Adara?
So I do know, so we will be able to track, so we'll have pixels on every single page of ours in the on the website. And so that's a great question, actually, Charlie, too. I don't know that we would have that kind of leverage to have them merge, right? But I think that we could, if we could get our pixels on the Jackrabbit booking pages, then maybe we'd be able to track it. So that's a really good point.
You know what else we might be able to do is put pixels in our events that are posted on the SoCal website. Might be a way to get into there. Instead of just putting a link to our event, maybe we can do a specific pixel for the event that's posted on their site.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that way we can track it through and see
who's coming
through SoCal website.
And who our referrals are, right? Because then that would come in as referral traffic. So I'm just trying to think. We can put pixels on our landing page. Is that what you're saying? That we know is specific to...
No, we upload our events to the SoCal website.
Yeah.
So when we upload it, can we attach a pixel to it?
No, because it would have to be attached to the actual page on their site.
Oh.
And then, you know, they would have to do that. And I guess we're going
to
ask them.
So it has to be on their site. Okay.
It would be on their site.
Is them doing it a matter of, so if we have the contract with them and we can get our partners who, even though that's not our site, but we kind of own that content in a way.
Well, we pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I see no reason why, if we're paying for a landing page elsewhere, it's essentially a Facebook post, which we own that. Well, sorry, that's debatable. But and in that same vein, if this is the Morro Bay Tourism Board and we are a business improvement district and we are in this contract, then I think that you could make a pretty good case that any hotel landing pages that wanted to opt in to the pixel, I bet that we can get that into the contract. I bet that would pass, even though it's not our landing page.
Excuse me. You know what? I mean, we have access to creating as many pixels as we want. And so I will talk to our rep about that, because maybe we can create a pixel for each hotel and then say, here's your pixel, put this on your homepage, your booking page, or whatever. And I have to think that through, kind of. But yeah, that's you know, and I will talk specifically about how we can use this product in as many ways as possible with our, you know, with our hotel partners for sure. This is really great brainstorm, you guys. I really appreciate it. This is good. So,
One more question.
Of course.
What's the process? What's the time frame for you getting, you know?
It's launching July 1. So, yeah. So, we have, so Mobi has the Pixel. Mobi is the current, you know, updater of the site. They have the Pixel that's going to go on every single page on the morobay.org site. And then any new campaigns that we're generating, which is actually, that's a really great segue into my next topic. So, any new campaigns that we generate, or that are going to be continuing running on July 1, we'll pixel all of those ads. So basically, when we buy an ad, you know, through TripAdvisor, I'll be like, okay, here's all of our ads, and this is, you know, the link, and then please put this pixel on every single ad when you post it. So that's July 1. Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe you're going to get to this. So I'm looking at the proposed budget, and where, what is the cost of this to us, and where is it come? What bucket is it coming out of?
It's coming out of the media bucket.
Media.
And it's about $20,000. Yeah.
Okay.
On that same thing, Maggie, just so you know, on this new contract, part of our negotiation was a lower commission to Mental Marketing. So they've lowered from 15 down to 12%, which saves us about $33,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So it's being put to good use.
Good.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, we like you guys, you know. Sure. Yeah, we can go to the next one. So Q&A. So just, I guess, one final, if you guys have any questions before we go to the next topic.
Real quick, you said launching July 21st. It's already launched. This new additional items is being launched July 21st.
July 1st.
We're already with Adara in some fashion now.
Right. So July 1 is when this, the, it's called Adara Impact. So all of this new tracking data program or product, I should say, will start. But yeah, we have ads running throughout Adara's networks currently. Those are kind of two different products, if you will. So we run ads on all the different hospitality networks. Now this is going to show us all of our tracking.
So maybe one thing we should talk about before we leave the subject is, how do we want this reported out from Mental? How often do we want it reported out so that we're all thinking the same thing?
Sure.
So it starts July 1. What are you thinking as far as...
Is it every
2 months? Do we sit down and look at how we're tracking, or?
Well, I mean, I'm happy to report it out every month. I mean, it's going to be a buildup, obviously, over time. Of the numbers and the data will build. So I'm happy to report out monthly. I don't think that's, and just include it in our monthly report. Or do you think that's too frequent?
Board, any thoughts on it? I just
or by campaign. You know, what we could do it is by campaign.
Well, what's the amount of data? What kind of time is it going to take to look at it with some reasonable care every month or every 2 months?
Yeah, I think every 2 months is fine. I mean, I'm probably going to check it as on a regular basis, because I'll be able to know in real time what ads are working, what ads are not working. You know, should we fine tune this campaign midway? So, I mean, I'll be checking it regularly. And then Jen and I will fine-tune it as we go, and then maybe report out to you guys the numbers by campaign, if that works for you guys.
It seems that a period of time is probably easier to analyze than a given campaign, I would think. I don't know.
I would also think monthly would be good initially. And then
sure.
We might find that it's too much, and then we could... Lower
yeah, level. I mean, I kind of feel like, I mean, we're reporting these numbers out monthly already, you know, like the for example, the website numbers, you know. So if we can maybe you know, I mean, it'll be additional information for you guys. I know you probably already have information overload every month, but if we kind of just add it into the way we have it set up now, we would be doing that monthly, like on the website numbers, and then I report out campaign numbers, you know, anyway as we go along. So if we do both, and maybe guys, it'll give you a nice snapshot of kind of, you know, how it's going. How does that sound?
Why don't we start at the end of August? I'm thinking, because that'll give us, so we start July 1. I don't think reporting at the end of July is going to work. I think we need to skip
sure.
the first month would be my, and we're, you know, summer months we don't advertise a huge amount anyway, so I think that's a okay time of year. I'm okay with that, skipping that.
Sure.
And so we'll report in the August, that'd be the third week of August. So you report July numbers in the third week of August meeting. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll just, that's how we'll start rolling, and then we'll just, I have to look at it on my side too, and how much time is it going to take me to analyze these and put them into place, and I'm a one-man band, so we need to
again,
really...
if the pages that they're producing really
that
give
simple.
Us that, that
exactly.
that's going to
oh, yeah.
be key to how all that data is read and, you know, absorbed
yeah.
and...
And I'll do the analysis and all of that and present to Jen, so you're not spending extra time
right.
on that, you know. I'm happy to do that. That's kind of how we've been doing. That's how we work together currently. This is just kind of another level of reporting, but it's very similar to what we've already been doing, quite frankly. But we do
Perfect.
Need some of that data to populate, Jen, to your point.
Okay.
And in June, we won't even, it won't, when you report out in July, we won't even have the data, so...
And tonally speaking, I can only speak for myself, but if because this is kind of a work in progress, I'm all for like transparency, honesty. This is working. This is not working.
Yep.
That to me is so much more valuable than the impressions and clicks and calling that gospel. You know.
Right.
So I just for me, like I think this is such a good opportunity and. To say something's not working is a win, not a loss to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. So thank you, guys. I appreciate hanging in there with all the details and so forth. So on to our next screen. Thank you, sir. Highway 1 opening and branded outreach. So, yay, great news. We've all probably heard that they're pushing up the opening of Highway 1 to July. And so Jen and I, pardon me? End of July. So Jen and I...
July 27th, to be specific.
Thanks, Jen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're looking at some budget that we have from this year that we want to, that we plan to use to push out some branded ads. To celebrate that news.
Let me give kind of a background really quick
sure.
before we get into too much of that. So with the road opening, it's not the normal totally open. We still have the signal closure at the other end. It was in place before the slide at Mud Creek, so it's still there. So we'll still have some stop-and-go traffic, but this is a really great start. It will go down to one lane in certain areas. So I'm part of a committee that is the unincorporated bid plus the SoCal group, and we've been meeting regularly. And we started meeting before they announced the July new date. So we've been talking about what do we do, how do we push this out and gain those people back so that you guys understand county numbers, the national visitors to SO County are up 10%. International visitors are down 10%. So that's a 20-point swing since Highway 1 has been closed, which is really, really significant. So the focus of that group is international guests. It's not about, you know, our friends in Fresno, our friends in LA that are coming up. They're not going down Highway 1. We need long-term international visitors. So I don't want you to expect that the road opens on the 27th and on the 20th you're seeing bookings. This is international guests. It's long-term business. So that's why I asked Marianne, let's take that. We have this little pot of extra money. Let's push it out to international guests and let's start building that up. That'll be on top of what I'm doing with this other group and what Visit California is also doing. I don't think Visit California is going to do a big hurrah, we're reopened, because it's not fully 100% open both lanes all the time. So they're hedging their bet in case there's another problem. It's kind of where they're positioning a little bit, but we'll see. I have another meeting next week and we'll know more and I'll report out to you guys on that.
Jen, those numbers were for Slo County?
Yes. I also saw the gentleman that I work with at Hearst Castle. I saw him a few days ago, and he told me since Highway 1 has been down that their ticket sales are down by over 100,000 tickets, which is really significant, just to give you an idea of impact that we're talking about.
Thanks, Jen, for that background. So as Jen mentioned, SloCal has reported that their international travel is down 10% in 2017, which is, like Jen said, very significant and absolutely connected to the closure of Highway 1. You know, people are going around. They're coming down the 101. They're coming down the 101 and kind of bypassing our little corner of the world here. This is a big deal, and you know, I know Jen doesn't know exactly what Visit California is going to do, but I imagine they're going to do some press. You know, it was such a big thing for them to. Oh, thank you for putting that back up. There was so much press about the closure of it, and so I imagine they're going to do some kind of press wing. I don't know how much advertising they'll spend, but I know for sure that, you know, Visit California has offices all over the world, especially in the biggest international markets, and so they're constantly, you know, getting our messaging out, you know, Visit California's messaging out, so I imagine that'll happen in their international offices and through their PR and so forth. To that point, Jen and I talked about doing some, you know, spending a little bucket of money left over from this fiscal in some international markets in a really smart way, English-speaking markets, so we're not translating ads and so forth. But those three top markets are the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. And so, the UK, Canada, and China are the top three travelers to California. Australia, I think, is fourth or fifth. They've got a lot of new, you know, direct flights from Australia that they've implemented over the past like 3 or 4 years. So that international audience has been growing. So we've got $10,000 to spend in these markets in July, and to reach those core international audiences, we're going to spend $6,000 of that with Adara in the UK and Canada, and then the other $4,000 is going to be on Facebook and Instagram in UK, Canada, and Australia. And so we think it's going to be really fun getting that message out there that we're here and we're ready for them and welcoming them with open arms to Morro Bay. And so we're just figuring out that messaging right now, and we'll get those up and running for July. So
this would be a great test for the new Adara product, too.
For sure, for sure. So that's all I have for you guys today. If you have any more questions for me, I'm happy to answer. And thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, board. Are there any future agenda or announcements or anything that we'd like to add for the agenda for next month?
I had a question, actually. Jen, I wanted to ask like an update on a past issue that I kept on bringing up with adding budgeting for staffing for you. Can you give me an update on that, where that's at?
So that is with the city manager, Scott Collins, and he's reviewing my department and I think what I need done in there. That's what he's doing right now, and I hope to know fairly soon on his decision on that.
I think it was the April meeting. Was that the meeting when we approved the budget? Approved the budget that we recommended. One key thing that was listed on there were some things that we wanted to add to that. What is the process creating more tangible KPI key performance indicators was part of our discussion that we were, I don't know if that were, we were going to implement that, but it was something that we kind of came to somewhat of a consensus and there were a couple other items like what even happens with that after that meeting?
So this was about the KPIs. That's what all this was about. Okay. Is for next year. So budget-wise, it goes to... So the budget has been approved. City Council has to approve our agency of record. That is next Tuesday. And then everything will start rolling July 1.
So in terms of making more tangible key performance indicators part of our actual documentation, that's not something that's made it into our documents. We just kind of talked about it in general. basically what we had talked about at that April meeting is like, all right, we want to it currently says we want to improve the number of stays or increase the number of stays. And our discussions seem to be in the vein of we want to increase our number of stays by 5% or 8% or something along those lines to make it a little bit more quantitative and tangible. From a TBID standpoint, I think probably more than a mental standpoint. But, I'm just kind of following up on that.
Happy to answer that. And, Jen, correct me if I'm wrong. But so since the process kind of got delayed a bit, we're just now kind of launching into developing our marketing plan. As they develop, hire a strategic planning firm, and so that's where in my mind where those objectives would lie would be in the marketing plan, in our goals and our objectives. We'd say like, yeah, let's increase, our goal is to increase average length of stay by up from 1.5 to 2% or something like that. So those are quantifiable objectives you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that has to start at some point so that it can end at some point and
yes.
be measured against each other.
Right.
So that was basically the name.
Yeah, so that would be in the marketing plan. Yeah, that'll be in the marketing plan. And I think, too, having the strategic company come in, I think they're going to be able to do the research to tell us, okay, what are our expected, back up a little bit. So 10-year strategic marketing plan, right? So they're going to put numbers into place for us and what they can see in trends in tourism and marketing and, what those anticipated goals should be for the city of Morro Bay. We can certainly, take a stab at it. But I think having it really be done in a professional manner by a strategic planning firm is kind of where we want to go with that.
And when we engage with them, who do we ask for certain things because we're paying for their consulting services? Like when does that kind of that
yeah.
list of requests, I guess, come
sure.
into play?
So I've interviewed three different companies with the city manager, and we're very close to hiring somebody to do that. And they've all put together very well thought out outlines for what it is, and it includes coming into the market and sitting with you and sitting with city people and sitting with hoteliers and doing all these different outreach groups. Vacation rentals is a huge part of it as well, and really looking at the good and the bad of Morro Bay and what we need to help us move forward. Part of what I'm looking for them to do is a long-term strategic plan in conjunction with that, like Marianne was saying. So their contract was done before I started, and it was odd. It was like a 16-month contract, which didn't make any sense. And so part of what we're doing is I've asked them to put together a 24-month marketing plan instead of doing this short-term plan so that it matches well with the strategic plan and we can keep moving through instead of having these short little patches of things. The strategic plan will probably not be done for 8 weeks at least. They need like 4 weeks of outreach and put all that product together. And so I asked Marianne to do kind of a temporary kind of outline. Her and I've worked a lot on it. So she's kind of doing some temporary stand-ins until we have their real focus on where to go. And this is a really great time of year to do that because, again, it's summer and we don't do a huge amount of outreach during the summer months. And hopefully by September when we're ready to push into our shoulder season, we'll have the strategic plan either done or most of it done, and that'll give Marianne the ability to get the plan done as well. And that'll come back to you for your approvals. Does that help? Kind
yeah.
of.
And I'm sure you and Scott are on it, but the more numbers they can put in there, the better, I think, in all those objectives and goals. Even a low quantitative expectation is more useful than
sure.
a lofty
right.
qualitative one.
Absolutely.
Anything else from the board?
Yeah, speaking of things that have come up, and I don't know if it's appropriate to ask you this now or it becomes a future item, but where are we on the new website development and what is do we have an expected delivery on that?
Sure. Right now where I'm at is we have a signed contract mm-hmm. and it should start going actually next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and until they get in there, they can't begin to tell us about a delivery date on it.
Okay. No, that's correct.
Thanks.
I just have one announcement for hoteliers watching out there in TV land. Visit SoCal will be putting on a foreign individual traveler informational meeting tonight at the Morro Bay Golf Course from 5 to 7 with representatives from Torrico. to explain the FIT programs that are available for small properties and large properties to drive more foreign individual travelers to Morro Bay. And that is free tonight, 5 to 7 at the golf course. Also, one more thing. The partnership with Central Coast Tourism Council, CCTC, and Visit SloCal and Morro Bay Tourism. I spoke with Michael Wumboldt yesterday, and he said that we were very well represented in the UK last week when they met with Black Diamond to discuss the reopening of Highway 1. So those positive, that's a real positive thing for us, as this reopening and getting that information to our partners with Black Diamond. So thank you. And with that, I'd like to invite a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much, everybody, and welcome to summer.
See you guys.